What's up, everyone?
Hello.
Welcome to episode 38 of the Movie Schmovie podcast.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of things happening right now, man.
A lot of things, man.
I have a new house.
Right.
I'm moving.
I might be
Life
moving
is crazy.
Into a house.
You might be moving.
This is different, though. You that's your house.
I bought that shit.
I might be renting a house. That's different.
You can rent out my garage.
Well, that's cool.
Cheaper, though. I guarantee you.
That's cool. As long as you don't interrupt my FAP sessions.
Your FAP sessions?
Yeah, FAP. That is the noise that it makes when you're watching a movie. And entertaining yourself.
Entertaining yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say if you're watching a movie of the adult kind.
Oh, for adults.
Starring a woman like Sasha Gray or Pinky.
I saw that you liked her the other day on Facebook.
Cherokee the Ass, which is also another adult film.
Learning stuff. So much right now. This is becoming an informative episode. Yeah.
You know what we should do at the tail end of this? We should just
get
The tail end.
Get it?
Right.
Sasha Gray, tail
Sasha
end.
Sasha Gray, tail end. We should give the name of an adult film star. That would just be right.
I think you should do that.
Right.
Anyway, back to our podcast. Welcome. A lot of things happen, like we said.
A lot of things.
This is going to be a really, really crucial time for this podcast. If you guys picked up on a lot of our likes and dislikes, you know we're Apple guys. We're Apple fans. Yeah. You know, we use a lot of Apple products.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that we do really is on Apple. I used to work for Apple. Ronald still does.
Yeah.
And we've been using MobileMe to house our podcast. As a lot of people know, MobileMe ends in a few days.
Right.
So we're in this transition period where we're migrating all of our podcast files and, you know, all the back end stuff from MobileMe to our personal storage site.
Yeah.
There's absolutely going to be some growing pains.
Absolutely.
We're kind of fumbling our ways through some of this.
It's rough because, you know, it's funny. The front end stuff is always covered. Like that stuff is always like shiny and beautiful. This is how you get this. This is how you get that. But when it comes to hosting a podcast and transitioning, because like say if a company goes, you know, defunct and just completely goes away, you lose that server space. You have to transition to another site without losing your followers, and we're working on that right now. So hopefully this next one coming up, episode 38, this one
that you're listening to,
the MobileMe server, and then we're going to transition to our GoDaddy server. Hopefully that works. Hopefully it's a clean transition. The faster you download this podcast, the faster you tell friends to download this.
So if you're streaming it, right? Download it.
Download it.
Subscribe to it.
So
do something.
Easily transition to this whole.
Most importantly, as always, just keep an eye on our website. Keep an eye on our Facebook page. Because if something does go wrong and you're looking for our podcast, you can't find this episode or the next one, rather. We're going to have directions. We're going to have troubleshooting. We're going to figure out a way to make this as painless as possible.
Because we're getting no help.
Right. Yeah. It's honestly, like, as much as I love Apple, and, you know, I'll say this because you still work for them and you probably shouldn't. I no longer do, so I'll be blunt about this. Their customer support with iTunes is absolutely horrible. Okay. You know, as a customer or even as a, you know, we're considered producers of a podcast, you know, there's absolutely no support in terms of figuring out how to transition a podcast that they supply, you know, to users, which is much appreciated for us.
Absolutely.
You know, but also we use their service and it's kind of frustrating that there's really no system in place or even, you know, a person that can help you transition, because there's really not.
Absolutely.
We're relying on people on forums, on friends, and, you know, just, you know, acquaintances to get through this. So that's enough of that. Just keep an eye on the pages, the movieschmovie.net, which is obviously brand new. It's pretty sexy, some might say.
Yeah. We get a lot of positive feedback.
I think some people actually make that FAP.
Yeah.
Have a moment with our website.
Just
keep an eye on the site, because, I mean, worst case scenario, we'll have all the podcasts posted there. You can at least listen to them there.
Always listen on Mixcloud. You can listen on now a brand new source. I want to talk about that before we even start.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it. Speaking of Apple, right?
Speaking of Apple, those sly devils, they decided to release a podcast app specifically for just getting all of the podcasts that are in the podcast directory in iTunes. So if you have a iPad, iPod Touch, iPhone, you can get the app called Podcasts. It's really cool, but there is one fatal flaw about finding our podcast.
Very fatal.
Now, the name of our podcast is Movie Schmovie. You've come to know it as such. But here's the thing. We type it in, and it comes up under the smart search. It gets a hit, but that's not what you have to type in to get it. You have to type in Schmovie, just Schmovie, and Movie Schmovie will come up.
It's weird. It almost makes me feel like it's like tied into our old Tumblr account, because that was just called Schmovie.
You're right, which it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe Tumblr and Apple are in cahoots or something.
Maybe they are in cahoots. So,
but yeah, it's a pretty slick app.
It is a pretty slick app. It's pretty straightforward. You can subscribe to the podcast from your mobile app if you don't want to do it through iTunes. It's easier that way. And then you can have it on auto download so that when a new episode comes, right in your mailbox.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes it easier, man. We always talk about how great this technology is, especially, you know, in terms of entertainment. You know, we're talking about movies, but we're putting out a podcast, an audio source, and
right.
to have another app. I mean, there's a lot of apps out there that you can do this with now, you know, like the Mixcloud or the Stitcher, you know, all these different things that have applications that you can find our podcast through.
Right.
But I mean, if you're going through iTunes, this is the place to do
this. This is the official one.
Yeah, don't this is the podcast no app. Further. You don't have to rely on your machine, your computer,
5 years whatever. Too late, but that's neither here nor there. 5 years too late. But
so yeah, check it out. It's on the, it's a free app on the App Store.
Absolutely.
We're going to actually talk about a couple feature films for this episode, as opposed to doing like a couple DVDs or whatnot. We did see a couple of movies this past week or so.
We have. It's been kind of a weird sort of time because all the big releases are coming up very soon, and we will cover them. But till then, we've been kind of seeing movies in between those. I love the fact that we can do it this way because it gives us a chance to highlight some movies that normally wouldn't be covered. Before the storm, because it's about to get crazy, the things we're about to cover. So
yeah, a lot of big summer releases. A lot of big summer
releases. So
but yeah, actually, you real quick before we get into that, do you want to just maybe talk about a couple trailers?
Spend
a couple minutes. Yes. There's a couple cool trailers that came out this week, and I know we posted some on our site, but in case you haven't been over to movieshmovie.net, the new and improved site, we were gonna mention a couple. I'm gonna throw out real quick. We mentioned, I think, in passing before the Frank and Weenie feature film. Yeah. If anybody's seen Tim Burton's short, you know, from a few years ago, you know, on October 5th, my birthday, he has a feature-length film coming out of the same title,
right.
Same subject matter. A lot of Tim Burton alumni, voice talent, you know, you have Catherine O'Hara, you have Martin Short, Martin Landau, Christopher Lee, Winona Ryder, a lot of great voices. The new trailer that comes out, I love even more than the initial one, which I already really was excited for.
Right.
A lot more in terms of the elements of the boy's interactions with his friends and how his friends react to the dog. And this is like a really cool trailer.
Definitely. Yeah, Frank and Weenie looks solid. I mean, I love the short. That came out in 1984. Do some research. You should watch the short. It's really, really pretty entertaining. Really short. About 15 minutes long.
So
this looks like they fleshed it out in a way that's not too corny. I think it's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah.
So.
And then we you posted the Judge Dredd trailer.
Yeah.
You seem to be a little more excited for that than I am.
The first one was obviously pretty corny. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone. I mean, not that he equals corny, but in the context of this franchise, it was not done as well as it could. I've read a couple Judge Dredd comics. The tone of it's pretty serious, and this seems to kind of follow the tone more than the previous offering. It wasn't that good of a movie.
Right on.
Yeah, so.
This is more of an indie film, but a trailer that really stood out to me over the past week, I came across called For a Good Time Call.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a chance to check that out?
No, I didn't check it out.
I posted it on the site. It's a, I guess, just straightforward comedy, kind of a raunchy comedy. About two unlikely friends, two girls that were not friends when they were younger, who end up as roommates, and the one comes to find out that the other is running like a phone sex hotline out of their apartment. As she falls on hard times, she joins in on the excursion, and they basically make a run for this. And stars Lauren Ann Miller, Ari Grainer. Ari Grainer, most people would probably know from like The Sitter. She was also in Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist,
mm-hmm.
As the girl that ate the gum off of the floor in the bathroom. Kind of has a Two Broke Girls feel to it. You know, literally there are two broke girls that are living together.
I love Two Broke Girls after.
I don't.
It got so much better after.
Did it?
Yeah.
I'll give it another shot. My brother really likes it. But Justin Long's in it as a little, I guess, one of the, Justin, I think he plays the gay best friend.
What happened to Justin Long?
I don't know, man.
What happened to Justin Long? I don't know, dude. I don't know. This movie sounds really cool.
Yeah, the trailer is really, really funny. And really? I think Lauren Ann Miller, one of the two girls, the brunette, She actually, I think, had a hand in writing the film, too. I think she's a co-writer of the script, which is kind of cool. It comes out at the end of August. Limited release, you know, one of the indie films. I think it's Focus Features that are putting it out. Look, but it looks really cool. Check out the trailer when you have a chance.
Come on. You got me. First and foremost, sex.
Sex.
Beautiful women.
Lots of fap sounds.
Faps. And and phones.
And phones.
Things I love. Things I love.
My two favorite things. So those are a couple trailers we posted about in the past few days. We literally post these all the time, and we watch more than we post. But the things that stand out, we try to throw up on the site just so that we aren't just reposting everything. But
right.
So again, moviesmovie.net has all those trailers if you want to watch them directly on the page. Moving into our feature films that we're going to be talking about, I figured I'd let you kick it off, talk about Safety Not Guaranteed.
Oh.
I wasn't fortunate enough to see it. I know you went and checked it out at the Charles, right?
Right at the Charles, an indie movie theater that I try to support.
Sure.
Every single time. Every single time something amazing comes out. So this offering is from director, oh God, I'm not going to try to pronounce this, Colin Trevorrow. Is that, are you just saying that?
No.
Okay. No. All right. No, so this good. Is his latest movie, Safety Not Guaranteed. Let me tell you what this is about. So apparently, a couple years ago, supposed to be around 1994, there was an ad that kind of hit a publication. It's an unknown publication. So it's said to be, it was something in Seattle. It said that it was this home magazine. That nobody's sure, because they actually talked about the
where
movie.
It came from.
Yeah, the director talked about the movie, and so did Aubrey Plaza. Nobody knows where this ad came from, but this became an internet meme sensation. I'm going to read the ad to you so you can kind of see why this is ridiculous. Wanted, somebody to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. You'll get paid after we get back. Must bring your own weapons. I have only done this once before. Safety not guaranteed.
It's amazing.
That's the name of the movie.
That's a great ad.
Yeah, so the plot of the movie is pretty simple. Aubrey Plaza plays Darius, the lead, and she works for a Seattle newspaper. And one of the main employees, played by Jake M. Johnson, he's Jeff in the movie. He is in a meeting, and the magazine is trying to think of some features. And somebody brings up this ad. So Jeff decides to go to this place in Seattle to figure out if this guy is the real deal, what his actual purpose is for putting this ad in the paper. So he needs two assistants. So he decides to take Darius, played by Aubrey Plaza, and a gentleman, his name is Arnu in the movie. And they decide to go to this area, and they figure out, you know, if this guy's real or not. Now, what makes this pretty cool is that Kenneth is a character. They figure out that this guy actually really is kind of off. And the interesting thing about it is he wants to go back in time. He's very adamant about it, and he has his motivations. And as you find out later on in the movie, Darius actually does have motivations for going back in time. Even though it's a really far-fetched sort of idea, she's really down with going back in time. So as as the story develops, you start to figure out why she wants to go back in time. There's a tragedy that occurs in her life that has kind of defined her as a person. And when she meets this guy, Kenneth kind of changes things for her. And it's good. Even though it deals with time travel, which is clearly kind of crazy, it's a really wholesome, amazing movie. And Aubrey Plaza hasn't had a leading role in anything. You've kind of seen her in Scott Pilgrim and things of that nature. But this is a very strong movie. So I say check it out. I think it's one of the best movies I've seen this year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best movies you've seen this year. One of the best movies
I've seen this year. And that's...
Wow.
First is Moonrise Kingdom. Yep. Yep.
Moonrise Kingdom. Oh, Ronald.
Yeah. You heard what I said.
I heard it.
You heard what I said. Moonrise Kingdom.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to see it yet because it is limited right now in release, but I don't know. It has stars from three of my favorite comedies on TV.
You know? The guy from The League.
Yeah, Mark Duplass plays the guy that's doing the time traveling.
And
Jeff Garland from Curb. In it too.
I really like Jeff Garland. Yeah,
Jake Johnson's from New Girl. He plays Nick.
He does play Nick.
And then you got Parks and Recs.
Very different, man. He's actually pretty different in this, which is cool. He's kind of a jackass in this movie. But I think what's cool about this is that a lot of the times you see movies where characters don't change. And sure. All of these characters go through drastic changes
sure.
as a result of chasing this idea. And I think that it has some real heart to it. The whole idea that of chasing an idea that is far-fetched, that it's always far-fetched when you really look at it from a distance. But if you really put some energy into it, it can really happen. So it's kind of about the whole idea of chasing your dreams and ideas that you have and letting go of the things that kind of hold you back as a person.
Gotcha.
I recommend Safety Not Guaranteed.
Awesome, man.
Cool.
I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm going to talk a little bit about a film that I saw that you didn't have a chance to see. That's Pixar's Brave.
Okay.
I am a huge Pixar fan. I know we've mentioned it before on this podcast.
That was something I never said to you about this movie.
What was that?
Before you start, I thought this movie looked like shit.
Really?
It's like I thought it looked bad. Yeah, in comparison to the other Pixar movies.
Oh, sure.
Movies.
Yeah, I remember you actually, I think, mentioned that at one point. Maybe not as directly, but you showed no interest in it.
Right.
It to the point where I reminded you about the screen and you still missed it.
Right. That was so weird. I feel like if it was something amazing like Wall-E, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm going
I know. We're like at the screen and we're like, I wonder if Ronald's coming to this screening because he's not here yet.
I totally forgot about it.
Totally forgot about it.
Yeah, that was
it's okay. But anyway, yeah, so Pixar is a 13th film. It's called Brave. You know, I guess the way I want to start this off is that, you know, everyone that loves Pixar, knows Pixar, or has come to love it or come to know it, expects a certain trademark in their films. You know, there's that element of a really heavy moral that's not smacked you in the face, you know, very directly. There's also that underlying wit that, you know, cuts through the, you know, an average animated film that really kind of allows adults to connect with the film, oh, things absolutely. Like that. And I think Brave is really a departure for Pixar. And I don't say that in the most negative way. I did really like the film still, and it's the standalone film. I did enjoy it. But it is Pixar's first kind of fairy tale film that almost feels more like a Brothers Grimm or, I don't know, one of those stories, or even a Disney story as opposed to a Pixar film. I really do kind of feel like it's Pixar's best attempt at a Disney princess. It really feels like that.
Okay.
And I don't know if, you know, this is the first film that they've ever made where a female is the lead character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little things like that you pick up on, and it makes you feel like, okay, are they trying to segue and merge the lack of Disney princesses in the past few years? I mean, yeah, they had Tangled with Rapunzel, and they had The Princess and the Frog. You know, but it hasn't been as consistent, and the films haven't been as huge as the ones back in the, you know, 80s and 90s were. So it feels very much more like one of those films than an actual Pixar movie. You know, it really does feel like the second act kind of takes on more of that fairy tale. You know, our lead princess voiced by Kelly MacDonald, who most people know from Boardwalk Empire. She's Margaret. She plays Princess Merida, and she, you know, she kind of makes that decision at the start of our second act that changes the course of the film, that, you know, will teach her moral and will, you know, have an effect on her mother or her father or their family. And I mean, at the root of the film, it's basically about a princess who is, you know, basically having an arranged marriage of sorts. You know, these guys are competing from different kingdoms to have her hand. She doesn't want any of it. She's a tomboy. You know, she loves shooting the bow and arrow. She's better than anybody vying for her hand in marriage, and she's her own woman, and she's having issues with, you know, kind of fitting into the mold that her parents want. Visually, it's probably one of Pixar's best films. Okay. I think that, the landscape, the Scottish landscape, and just the kingdom and all the beautiful nature elements, it's gorgeous. And even her, she's absolutely gorgeous. One of the, you know, most detailed and attractive. It's really great Disney Pixar character. And even, you know, a lot of her personality, it really is very unique, and it's incredible. You know, my biggest problem with the film is that it feels like a Disney princess film and not like a Pixar film. You know, I feel there's a lot of things, you know, that relates to mothers and daughters, which is absolutely great. You know, I'm fine with that. Most people that I know that have seen the film, and even myself and the guests that I went with, you know, everyone said the same thing. If you didn't know that it was a Pixar film going into it, you would have thought, oh, this is a new Disney princess film. You know, mm-hmm. the animation's there. That's the one trademark that I feel the film still carries over from what most people expect from, you know, from Pixar.
Right.
I know that there were some, like, director kind of issues in terms of the production of the film. Brenda Chapman was actually slated to, she wrote the story for the movie, and she was slated to direct the film and to be the first female director to ever make a Pixar film, which is huge, you know, a princess, the first female lead, a story of mother and daughter written, directed by a female. Awesome storyline, you know, really great. But, you know, through production, she was actually replaced by Mark Andrews, and, you know, I think there were, you know, I guess production problems, creative differences, whatever it might have been. And I feel like there's a couple parts of the movie where you can kind of feel a couple tonal shifts. I don't know if we're intentional in her vision or if it changed when they changed directors. Whatever it was, it kind of, you know, it kind of just didn't feel the same to me. I don't know where this would rank on my Pixar favorites. It probably would fall somewhere in the middle. It's a gorgeous film. It did really well opening weekend. I'm curious to see how it holds over this weekend. Most importantly, John Ratzenberger, who has voiced somebody in every Pixar film, has a small voice role in this as one of the guards of the castle. So that's kind of cool. I'd also like to say that the short that plays before La Luna is amazing. It's probably my favorite Pixar short ever.
Really?
It's about a young boy with, I'm assuming that it's his, you almost have come to assume that it's his father and grandfather. They're out on a boat and they're basically, you know, in the middle of, what do you call it? In the middle of the ocean, and basically are just worrying about, the, you're like, what are they doing? And they have, you know, mop buckets and, you know, brooms and whatever. And you come to find out they're basically, they're going up to the moon or to the star, and they're basically cleaning the stars off of the moon so that it's like, really? You know, that's what's dictating a full moon, a crescent moon, a half moon.
Oh.
They sweep all the stars to one side or they spread them out. It's gorgeous. They anchor the boat, and it's I don't know. You have to see it. I'm doing it no justice by trying to explain it.
Right.
It's a gorgeous little short film. And like I say, it's probably one of my favorite shorts, and directed by Enrico Casarosa. I'd seen the trailer for it a while ago. We posted it on a blog when we first made this podcast, and it's been a year since we did that, and it's cool to finally see it, and it's awesome. So let alone La Luna is worth checking out. But Brave, I'd still recommend it. I still was a fan of it. I think you would like it, even though you had no interest in it and still think that it's a horrible movie, or it was likely going to be a horrible movie. By no means, I don't think you could ever say it's not Cars or Cars 2. You know, which are some of the more inferior films that Pixar has made.
So, okay.
What I mean?
You set the standard. So, I'll go see it.
I'd recommend it.
I was not a Cars or Cars 2 fan.
Right, right. I mean, it's nowhere. I wasn't a huge fan of those either, but...
Right, right.
Even though Cars, you know, I feel like it that gears much more towards, I feel like, a more of a traditional animated film that just kids love. You know, that's right. Kind of how I felt about this movie, about Cars. But with Pixar and Brave, you know... It feels more Disney, more animated, more princess. But, you know, I think adults could still be into it. I know mothers are going to love this movie because it's much more identifiable by them, you know, and their daughters and whatnot. It's a great little Sunday movie. I don't know, whatever. But, but Brave's in theaters now, and I would definitely recommend it. Because even though, through all my issues with it, it's still, I mean, it's you're only strong as your weakest link. And this is by no means their weakest link in terms of what Pixar's put out. And They're just still quality studio in my eyes, so...
Same. I feel the same way.
Cool. So the last film that we're going to kind of highlight.
Oh, boy.
We both got to see, advanced screening of, thankfully. And it's Ted. Ted. I'm a mixed bag on this. I don't know where to start.
I am, too.
You know, the trailer, I thought the Red Band especially was absolutely hilarious. This is Seth MacFarlane's first feature film. Most people know Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy. He's also involved with American Dad, Cleveland Show. It's his first feature film. Mark Wahlberg's in it. Mia Kunis is in it. Matt Walsh is in it. Patrick Warburton is in it. A couple cool little cameos in it. I'm not going to ruin for you. But Giovanni Ribisi's in it as well. Very, very creepy in the film.
Right.
The story that we basically have is that, you know, Mark Wahlberg's character, John, he started out with him as a child of the 80s, and he basically had no friends, and he got a teddy bear for Christmas and wished him to be real, to be his best friend forever, and it came true. And, you know, they grow up together. Ted goes through the superstardom of being a live talking bear, and, you know, he kind of even references, like, Corey Feldman, like, those has-been celebrities, and he's one of them now.
Right.
But
right.
They're still best friends, and they still live together, and they're still inseparable until Mila Kunis is in the picture, and then it's like, hey, John, maybe it's time to grow up and move on and propose to this gorgeous girl that calls you her boyfriend.
Right. So,
I don't know. Where do we start, man? I mean, like, the trailer's hilarious.
Trailer's hilarious. I guess I got to explain why I was very apprehensive about this film in general. Seth MacFarlane is a very smart man. I think that what he's done with Family Guy and American Dad and all the other, the Star Wars episodes of it and all that cool stuff, sometimes doesn't amount to anything depending on what episode you watch. I think it's a lot of pop culture strung together. I think it's a spin on the kind of Simpsons format, changed a little bit, made into like modern crude humor. Sometimes I think that crude humor can be overbearing, repetitive, and sometimes deficient of some originality. So I came into it thinking of that, but I enjoyed some of it. I did have some laughs. But the problem with that, just like an episode of Family Guy, are there these extreme gaps in the humor. Like, sometimes you'll laugh for 5 minutes, and then there's big gaps in it. You know what I mean? That was my big problem.
Yeah, I mean, some of the jokes really hit hard, and they're really, really funny. But then some of them, they just miss. I mean, I think there's a lot of, like, I don't know, there's a couple, you know,
multiple 9/11 jokes.
Yeah, like, yeah, references to 9/11 and even some gay jokes, which is really weird because, I mean, I feel like it's him being very self-aware. I mean, he's you know, a gay rights advocate, and like, he has a family member. I remember reading an article about that before. You know, so it's kind of surprising that some of these jokes were in there. I guess he's going after, like, you know, the people that, you know, laughing at themselves who really find that funny. You know, if you're laughing at these jokes, we should all be laughing at you because, you know, they're stupid. Like, there's a couple of really, really bad, like, gay jokes in the film.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it, you know. And the only thing I can really assume is that he's putting them in there for us to laugh at the idiots that actually laughed at that joke.
Right.
You know, that's what I can assume. And there are a couple pretty extended lulls in the film where you don't really find a really, really hard laugh. A lot of, like, references to the 80s and cultural icons, cultural figures, pop culture.
That a lot of people won't get.
That went over a lot of people in the theater's head. Like, there's a huge piece in the film with Flash Gordon, and, like, I'm aware of what it is. You know, I'm sure you are. And, you know, a lot of younger people that watch Family Guy, I mean, it's a big chunk of the film. Like,
they're not going to get it.
They're not going to get it. And I could feel it in the theater that some of those things where they were really going hardcore, like there's like a little dream sequence when he's on, you know, the spaceship or on the, like the space scooter with Flash Gordon. And it's like played for hard laugh and no one was laughing. It's kind of a weird scene.
It's too far back for it to kind of hit really hard. I mean, I can see like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. People can relate to that because that's not too far back.
Right.
But this is like 80s. That does not work. Not with this generation.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, a lot of that stuff missed.
I think from front to back, it's a pretty solid movie. I mean, in terms of, like, the actual story, like, I guess what John goes through with the girlfriend, and, you know, you have this character on the outside, Giovanni Ribisi's character and his son, these creepers that want to basically adopt Ted and, you know, make Ted his son's new best friend, because it's timing. It's John trying to move on and this guy trying to bring him into the family, but this is, like, a guy that wanted a Ted character in his life when he was John's age as a kid, and never got it. And you can tell he kind of grew up with a few screws loose, and he's a kind of a weird dude. And he comes into play, in, you know, in the third act of the film. But
it's cool though. The one thing that he did that I thought was really cool is he layered the villains. Like, it's a couple things going on. So it's John's inability to grow up,
right?
Then it is Joel McHale's character Rex.
Rex, yeah.
Who's going after Lori, trying to get into her pants. Right. And then Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah.
All kind of layered together in the third act that kind of hits all at once. But it gets lost on you sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it as many ways as you like, but I think it just misses.
It does.
On a lot of opportunities. I think Mark Wahlberg's pretty funny. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of his. I'll see most things that he's in because I'm just curious to see how it is. I thought he was actually really good in The Other Guys, you know, with Will Ferrell.
I did not like that movie.
Right, I remember.
But you know what? It was better than this movie.
Right. Okay. So that's where I was going with this. Like, I feel like there was more in terms of the comedic timing in that film that consistently brought that hard laugh, like that really that deep laugh, you know, right, to kind of make you either be able to forget about what was wrong with the movie. But with this film, I think there's a lot of those extended periods where you're like, "Where's the next laugh?" Like, I'm kind of getting annoyed by how right, crude some of this is, or how bad Laurie's riding him about, you know, growing up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She like, was like, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you over this. Like, I don't know what was some.
Most of the scenes that she was in, that's all she kept saying. Right, it's like, you'd probably distract yourself from that if there was a really, really funny scene between them. But there's a few moments where there's not.
There wasn't.
And you're just literally being hit with like, oh, he screwed up again. Oh, Ted talked him into coming to a party. Laurie's pissed again. She's right, crying. She leaves him at the party. You know, it's like, give me your key. There's a really big opportunity missed. I mean, I think a lot of what's shown in the trailer, there are a lot of funny scenes in the movie that aren't in the trailer, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, so don't feel like you've seen the movie if you see the trailer. I would probably throw this film as a maybe so for me, only because I did have a lot of expectations for it in terms of that Red Band trailer. I thought was absolutely hilarious. I don't know. I can't say it's a yay or a yes, whatever, for me, for sure. I don't know that I would see it again. On TV, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, DVD. I don't know. It was okay. I mean, you know what else was really weird? The whole, like, Flash Gordon thing. It was very predictable. I knew what was going to happen. He got there, you're like, oh, he's going to do something bad. Because this is what they do. They take old celebrities and then they act stupid. Like, for example, what was it? When they saw Doogie Howser and Harold Kumar, you're like, oh, okay, he's gonna act like an asshole.
Yeah,
same deal. Like, and it was very like, come on, like this is. I felt like I've been here before.
Yeah, no, and so, I mean, like some of the cameos, like Tom Skerritt's in it. I guess I'm not gonna ruin anything, but Ryan Reynolds has a short cameo. Nora Jones. I don't know, but it's just like they're just weird. Like the scenes, they don't fit into the scenes, and they're kind of awkward.
It's an hour and a half episode of Family Guy, but a bad episode. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Like it sounds shitty, but even bad episodes of Family Guy have like moments of like, that's pretty. I guess I could see.
But like even like Rex's character, I mean, I feel like you could have completely cut that character out of the film.
Yeah,
like it had no bearing on it because. Never at a point was Lori, did you ever believe that she was ever interested in him?
Yeah.
You know, beyond just him being annoying at work and her going out with him one time to, like, get her mind off of John. You never thought she would ever actually want to be with him. So that's never a threat to John actually. You know, like, there was never that counterbalance of, like, why, besides her saying, I'm going to leave you, but then you know, oh, she's going to come back. You know, there's right, never that true element of a compromise or of a challenge in terms of what he would lose her to besides himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause you know, whatever, this is a comedy and maybe that's not what you're looking for, but I mean, that maybe would have been a lot more opportunity with Joel McHale's character to have a little more comedy. Cause his character was not funny at all.
And Joel McHale was pretty funny.
He's a funny dude. Like I love him on Community and you know, talk suit, whatever. I'm always fine with watching him, but his character is completely wasted in this movie and not funny at all.
No.
At all. Patrick Warburton, not funny at all. Matt Walsh, not funny at all in this movie. Not at all. You know, the last really do just come from John and Ted. That's really it. You know, even Mia Kunis, who, you know, obviously she voices a character on Family Guy, so I don't know. You know,
she's funny in other stuff.
No, that's what I'm getting at. She's funny. Yeah, she has comedy in her, but this role, I don't think she's very funny in this movie either.
Right.
I don't know. I would say maybe so, you know, with the expectation that you'd probably laugh a lot, but I don't know that you're going to come out really saying you love the movie.
You won't buy it.
What would you go with? Yes, no, maybe so.
I feel bad. Probably no.
Okay.
Probably no.
So it's looking like a half and half here. You got a...
Maybe so. I mean, because I don't want to... I don't want to deter people from seeing it because it does have some really funny parts.
For the right person, it's going to probably, I mean, like a couple of my friends that did go, like they really liked it.
Right.
You know, one of them is in particular, like she was saying how much she wanted to see it again. You know, so I mean, for the right person, maybe it's that, but not for me. I probably won't see it again.
Yeah, me either.
But that's going to wrap it up. I mean, we talked about a lot today. Again, keep an eye on the moviesmovie.net site and the Facebook or even emails if you have questions about what's going on with our podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode if you are. Again, if you see this episode in iTunes, you know, make sure you subscribe to it. And if you're catching up a little later after this came out and just listening through a stream or something like that, find us on iTunes and subscribe. We're going to be working through a migration over to a new hosting site for our podcast. So there may be a little bit of a hiccup there, I'm sure. But again, anyway, the moviesmovie.net homepage is where you got to go to begin with.
Yeah.
If you're not going there, then that's the problem. Really, the stupid really, sauce. Really not anything with the podcast. This is this podcast is a supplement. Our site is our backbone at this point. So, you know, we have all these reviews that go up there. We write reviews for the site, post news, post videos, you know, trailers, anything we can find with movies that interest us, we throw it up there. So just stay with moviesmovie.net and you'll know where to go if you're going there regularly. Do you have anything else to add, Ronald?
Get the podcast
app. Oh, yeah, the podcast app on your iOS device.
Please, because you can get it very easily. You don't have to go through all the hoops. So, that's it, man. I just want you to get it. Get the podcast however you can.
Are you going to throw out your name that you promised me earlier in the podcast?
The name?
The FAP name? You completely forgot.
I did forget. I'm so sorry.
You said you were going to do what at the end of the podcast?
FAP?
No.
No.
Did you say you were going to throw a name out?
A porn star name? Okay, let me think of one.
God.
You
forgot that too, just like you forgot to come see Brave with me.
London Keys.
London Keys. Is that a real person?
Yeah, she's an Asian porn star. Wow. London Keys.
There you go.
London spelled normal.
London Keys.
Uh-huh.
In an episode with Family Guy, uh-huh. A teddy bear, and a Pixar film. Never thought it would happen. And time travel.
Right.
Look there you go. Up. You're welcome.
Keys is spelled K-E-Y-E-S.
You're promoting the hell out of her. Yeah, so thanks for listening to this episode of Movie Schmovie. And as always, you guys have made our day. Thanks a lot.
Bye.